powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
Mariners beginning a four-game series on the road against the Angels. Here to help us look at where this team is right now and potentially a little bit of a look ahead, Shannon Dreher, Mariners insider on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Shannon, how's it going?
It's going. We're enjoying some sun and beach before we head to the park. Not a bad day at all.
That's exactly right.
I wouldn't mind that. Yeah, we haven't seen the sun in about a week and a half.
Well, mostly because the blinds are closed. I don't know what it looks like outside. As a reminder, our conversation with Mariners insider Shannon Dreher is powered by Pacific Lamp and Supply. Shannon, this is a series in which one would expect the Mariners to win, though that's always dangerous to say, particularly in baseball. But is this certainly an instance where the offense, maybe some bats that have gotten a little quiet, can get going?
Yeah, you know what? I think they kind of are what they are at this point, so I would assume that we're going to see more of what we have seen with them leading with the home run, which is kind of strange when you think about it, but they have been the leading home run team since the All-Star break. So, you know, when you talk about quiet, I think that some of that has to do with they are scoring just by the home run, or they are hitting balls hard and not it's not paying off for them. I don't know that you've got bats that are necessarily ice cold that have not been throughout the season. So I think you look for more of what you have seen. You know, as long as they're taking their walks, that's when they seem to be able to put the bigger inning together. I think they're going to be okay there.
Shannon, looking at this American League wild card race, I assume you're up to speed on all the tiebreak scenarios and who's leading what, when, where, how, why, you know, because it's just so hard to keep up with at this point. Every day there's so much movement. But when you look at just all the teams that are pretty much certain to make the American League playoffs, obviously Houston is really just a cut above everybody else, but where do the Mariners fall in all of that? Because they have been the second hottest team in baseball for the last couple months, just behind the LA Dodgers. Do you see them as a team that, if they do get to the playoffs, making a lot of noise?
Curtis, you sound like you're not quite comfortable with things like Mariners leading the American League in home runs. Things
correct.
Like them being the best team in the American League, you know, for the better part of almost 3 months now.
It's uncharted territory, Shannon.
Yeah. What are we doing here?
I know. And it's an adjustment we all have to make. You know, I think everybody, you talk to any expert out there, you talk to guys on other teams and things like that, they're so impressed by the Mariners pitching, and they say that this is a team that should be built for the postseason, because you are going to shorten those games up. And I think that's going to be something that's going to be interesting to see when you get there, is how long does Scott Servais leave his starters out there? I know he's going to be tempted to go to that bullpen because of what they can do, and you see games shortened in the postseason. So I'm really interested to see, you know, Luis Castillo, how far do you let him go? George Kirby, how far do you let him go? When do you go to that pen? And I think it'll be a kind of a tough call, because what's really interesting is players like George Kirby and Luis Castillo seem to actually be peaking right now towards the end of the season, which is very remarkable for Kirby, considering he's really been nowhere near this number of innings before. So, you know, I think that they are certainly built as far as they can play the one-run games. They can play the low-scoring games. They've got that locked-down bullpen. I would argue they've got four starting pitchers that you would feel absolutely fantastic about. And, you know, you point to what they've been doing, and I will guard that you look around at the other teams that are going to make the postseason have a really good 1-3s as well. There's no question about that. But I think the one thing that they're not going to have when they get into that situation is a lot of experience. So I think that's going to be a little bit of the wild card situation in the wild card or anywhere else for them, is just how do they react?
I think the big knock on this team has unsurprisingly been the lineup, and it's not that they haven't produced. You mentioned all of those wonderful stats, especially when it comes to home runs. But it's just hard to stack up 1-9 against teams like, well, they won't be facing the Dodgers, but against the Astros, against the names at least that are in New York, even against the names that are in Toronto. But when you look at 1-9, can you find kind of arguments for the Mariners having more depth than people think they do?
Well, Well, you know, if they're all hitting, if they're all firing on all cylinders, that is a pretty tough lineup. And I think what we really haven't seen is you haven't seen, especially of late, all of your top three kind of in sync at the same time. Julio's pretty much been there the entire way. Ty France has had a rough go of it in the second half. Mitch Haniger been in and out. And for him, he hasn't even been back long enough for either of those to be two significant amounts of time. You know what he is, but we really haven't seen that quite a bit. But if they're all going, that's great. If you have both Suarez and Cal Raleigh going and on a home run tear, well, then that lineup, I think, gets flat out terrifying because Cal Raleigh's going to be probably down around seven if everybody is healthy along those lines. And then if you have, you know, Adam Frazier being his best Adam Frazier out there and getting on base and, you know, moving things along, and if JP is able to do something at the bottom of the lineup, then yes. But I think they have to be at their absolute best. They're not an absolute as a lineup, established lineup, but they certainly have the potential to be very, very dangerous top to bottom.
Shannon, have you heard anything on Mitch Haniger's availability in this series? He missed the Padres series dealing with that back issue. Can we expect to see him this weekend?
I would imagine so. He did get on the plane, so that was a good sign right there.
That's an important first step.
Yeah. I would have been concerned if he didn't, but honestly, it was something that I was looking for, that there was a possibility, not because I knew anything, but that is something that you would have to keep your eye on, especially with a back, because you never know. A back can be 1 to 2 days. It can be a long time, but obviously no move has been made with the IL, and he's on the trip, so I would imagine that we see him in short order, hopefully.
It's really hard to quantify the impact that a playoff drought can have, right? Because so much of it is mental, emotional, just kind of an atmosphere around something. So how do you measure that? But in what way do you think the Mariners might be in a unique situation, and what kind of challenge might that present?
What's really interesting about this, and I think that this is where your player development and your manager and the culture that you set comes into play, is that I have heard for years the players who have been coming up through the minor leagues really talk about, we want to be the ones that bring it back. And they were even doing that down in AA. And in some ways, you know, that's kind of a gutsy thing to say when you're just a kid in AA. But it's something that they've been aware of for a long time, and they don't see it as a challenge. They see it as, you know, a thing of pride. We can be that group. This is the group that's going to be talked about for a long, long time because they break that drought. Then you add in somebody like Eugenio Suarez, who everything is Mariners, Mariners, Mariners. You know, he is somebody that is leading that charge as well. So I don't see it as a pressure. I see it as, I think they're looking at, you know, just getting to do something neat, you know, something that they will be a part of. And honestly, the way that this group has gone from start to finish, and this includes in the first couple of months where it just didn't look good, and when they were 10 games out, they're really not fazed by anything game to game. It really is game to game for them, that they can put away a bad one just as easy as they can have fun with a good one. But the next day, it's all about that game that's in front of you. And I think that that is going to help in that situation.
Shannon, one question about the Mariners that I imagine we're all kind of maybe fatiguing on is, who is the number three starter in the playoffs? So I will not ask you that, but I will ask you about another competition on the roster, and that's in left field. You've got Jesse Winker, who has had the majority of starts out there. You've got Sam Haggerty, who's emerged a little bit lately. Haggerty splits against lefties. Very impressive batting from the right side. What do you see out of this left field spot in the season's final 3 weeks here? Do you think we start to see Haggerty get more reps out there, or will they continue to put Winker in left?
That's a tough one. I mean, you've gone with Winker and left the entire season. So in the last 3 weeks, not to do something there, that, you know, I think that that would be kind of interesting if they did actually make that, you know, a full move. And the splits are dramatic. You know, Haggerty's splits, particularly in the OPS, are huge. And say what you will, that he makes things happen. One of the reasons he has had the success is because they have spotted him in matchups that have been to his favor. Now, throw all that out and look at defense. And that's where, you know, I cannot see anything improving at this point. And defense is absolutely critical in the postseason. So if you do go with a platoon type situation, you at the very least have got to get a defensive replacement in that game if Winker starts it in short order. And you cannot, you know, let kind of miscues or just, you know, there are things that sometimes that you don't see, that a double or a single can be turned into a double. And along those lines, that can't happen in the postseason. They just flat out cannot afford that. So I think that, you know, as big as looking at the splits and the handedness is, I think even bigger is going to be that defense. And, you know, just as you might be looking to go to that bullpen a lot earlier, you might be looking to go to that defensive replacement a lot earlier as well. And Dylan Moore should factor into that too. So, you know, you have options that at the very least you can prevent the run if you are not scoring the run. And as far as what do we see these next 3 weeks, well, that I think will tell the tale.
Do you think that defensive play in general is an underrated part of really, really successful teams?
Not anymore. I think it used to be, but I think with all the metrics right now, I think that there is so much more focus on it. And certainly with shifts and things like that, there's been more focus on defense. And it's always, you know, since Jerry DePoto has arrived here, been a prime focus of his. You know, run prevention is just about as big as run scoring. You know, you cannot win a game by just preventing runs. You do have to score a run, but you certainly can lose games by not having that. And I think, you know, it's no longer a secret that that is a great equalizer out there. You go back 10 years ago, and there were a lot of teams that, you know, they would take the home run and the strikeout and no glove on the hope of getting those runs over what you can prevent out there. But I think in this day and age, I think that defense is very much a part of the game.
She is Mariners insider for Seattle Sports, Shannon Dreher. You can hear on the Mariners pre and post game show. Also, importantly, make sure you're following Shannon for all the coverage you need. Her articles and columns are on seattlesports.com. Obviously, at Shannon Dreher. Everyone's already following her. But if you're not already, what are you doing? I don't even know. Shannon, absolutely unforgivable. Shannon, thank you so much for taking the time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, appreciate you having me.
All right. Very quickly here, Seahawks injury report. I'm reading straight from John Boyle here. Friend of the show, John Boyle. Questionable for Sunday against the 49ers. Cornerback Artie Burns. Well, he's still dealing with a groin injury there. Cornerback Justin Coleman dealing with a calf injury. Justin Coleman did play in week one, so might be a new injury there. Safety Joey Blount is doubtful with a hamstring injury. Good news, though. Not listed at all. Guard Damian Lewis. And running back Ken Walker.
You love to see it.
You love to see it.
Yeah, absolutely love to see it. Get to see Ken Walker make his NFL debut on Sunday, most likely. I mean, not even listed. That's as good as it gets in the NFL in terms of injury status.
Also, right before I get to four down territory here, this really interesting video making the rounds, another mic'd up video. So there was the Russell Wilson one of him saying run, pass, and everyone kind of making fun of him. There's a Seahawks mic'd up video. I mentioned on what caught my eye when we were talking with Bump that Tyler Lockett was walking onto the field and yelling something at the defense. And we were like, what do you think he was saying? Was he saying good job? Was he being a captain? Was he telling them things? Like, what was he doing? We finally know. The video is him running out and telling defensive players. In this case, it's Mike Jackson, but I saw him talk to a couple guys, telling defensive players some of Russell Wilson's tells.
Oh, he's tipping pitches.
Yeah.
I like
Wasn't
that.
Wasn't it cool? He goes, if he taps his wrist, it's a go ball. Anyways, it's very interesting to see that on Monday night. Talk about what it might be Tuesday. And now we have a mic'd up moment where we see, oh, it's just Tyler Lockett being very, very attentive and knowing exactly what Russell Wilson's going to do. You'd think he'd change some of that.
You'd think. But also, it's the first time he's ever played against the Seahawks.
Yeah, maybe didn't even think.
Maybe didn't think of it. And I mean, as we've seen, I mentioned tipping pitches. They're just like little
things
ticks
that
guys do that they just never pick up on. And it's like, oh, wait, I do that? Like one time I was watching an Arizona basketball game and it was a really stressful moment and I was like twitching my thumb and my wife Brenna noticed it and she goes, do you notice that when the game is tight that you start moving your thumb around like crazy? And I was like, no, I've never noticed that before.
Well, maybe that's and a then Russell Wilson
she, And then like now whenever I watch a tight game, I'm like, oh yeah, I do that.
Looking down, you're right. All right, let's get to four down territory.
This is Four Down Territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, we've talked enough about Seahawks 49ers in week two. What other games are you most looking forward to seeing this weekend?
this weekend. I am looking at the New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mac Jones is having back issues over there. We'll see how he responds. But Pittsburgh Steelers, can you beat a quality New England defense? I don't even know who's on their defense specifically. I just know they're being coached by Bill Belichick. Those two are going to be ready to go. Can Mitch Trubisky improve off of what he did last week? This might be his second wind over there with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Another game I am looking at. Of course, we got to go Arizona and the Las Vegas Raiders. Right, Kyler Murray had a decent game last week. Didn't look horrible, but didn't get it done. Whereas the Las Vegas Raiders struggled a bit, lost to the Chargers. Can both these teams bounce back? There are a lot of names on these rosters that you recognize. I want to see what happens there. And then also, Chicago versus Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers wasn't wrong.
That's Sunday night, by the way.
Sunday night. Aaron Rodgers was not wrong when he was talking about his young receivers making mistakes. You saw a bunch of mistakes from the Green Bay Packers. Now, can Justin Fields build off of what he did last week? Wasn't impressive when you look at his numbers, but he got a win. He got a W. Something that doesn't happen very often in Chicago. I want to see what happens there. And then the last one I'm looking forward to seeing is just Carolina versus New York. I'm like fascinated with Baker Mayfield. I just want to see if he can bounce back, what he can do against a New York Giants team that hasn't done anything in a few years. So those are the games that I'm interested in seeing. Not going to see any of them because I'm going to be working, but I will watching the screen and getting updates from C. Raj.
That's right.
Back on the updates.
Yes,
back
sir.
On
updates with Curtis Rogers. Now, with the Packers game against the Vikings, I didn't watch all of it closely, so maybe the Vikings defense made this harder than I'm giving them credit for on Green Bay. I was surprised to not see more from both Dylan and Jones, Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
Like, well, I don't know why they didn't run more, or even like Jones has good hands, like incorporating him more in the pass game than they did. I was just surprised. Like, without Devontae Adams, I figured that Dylan and Jones would be a solid fantasy football pickup, and I was very disappointed for no reason whatsoever to see them not be used more.
Aaron Jones only had 5 carries for 49.
That's not enough.
AJ had 10 for 45.
That's not enough.
They threw the ball 39 times.
Why?
If you're complaining about your receivers, I'm surprised that they threw it that often. Maybe that offensive line couldn't get a push. Who knows?
It kills me.
Kirk Cousins, man. He's like one of the best regular season quarterbacks out there. It drives me crazy, the success that he has.
Second down. All right, who are you going to keep a close eye this weekend when the Seahawks take on the Niners?
You got to be looking at Josh Jones. How's he going to do stepping into the role as the starting safety, one of the starting safeties for the Seattle Seahawks? Great story for this guy. You mentioned earlier that he was close to retiring, but he's found his place here in Seattle, and I just want to see how he does. Man, it's a different feeling, a different responsibility going to a game knowing that you're going to be the guy. You are going to be the starter. There's a different type of pressure, you know? When you are coming off the bench, expectations are lower. You know you're not going to get that many snaps. The vibe is just different, so I want to see how he responds to that. This is his moment. Like, he could be the starting safety for the Seahawks for the rest of the year, resurrect his career, go get some money. Like, this is big for him personally. It's big for this team. It's big for his pockets, man. I know some of y'all hate that I talk about money all the time, but hey,
who
you play the
that?
Game, there's always some text. Well, some guy told me, it's disappointing how you just value money. Yeah.
Someone told you that?
Someone told me
Isn't
that.
Isn't it crazy how people value being paid for their work,
yeah,
or their job?
Yeah, you know, I'm just saying, like, he could change his family's life. I'm rooting for the guy to change his family's life. Get that back.
I think this isn't Friday Night Lights, y'all.
Nah, and just play well, too, because Clint Hurt was doing some things with Jamal Adams that I really liked, and I'm like, okay, is Josh Jones capable of doing it, of stepping into that safety, sometimes linebacker type role, getting after the quarterback, and playing with the intensity that Jamal played with? I'm not asking him to be Jamal. He can't be Jamal, but he'd be generic Jamal, right?
Yeah, sometimes generic's just totally fine. Trust me, I'm a huge fan of generic. I love a good Costco trip. It's a great time.
Kirkland signature.
Now, I did say that this isn't Friday Night Lights. That being said, a phenomenal show. Curtis, Clear Eyes, Full Hearts.
Cannot lose.
That's exactly right. Third down. What adjustments do you think Clint Hurt will make on defense?
All right, here's the thing. With the Denver Broncos, that 3-4 was perfect going into the game because you felt like Russell's going to throw the ball. You got more guys on the second level. You didn't think they're going to run that ball a lot. Now, when you play this 3-4, man, you should be able to run the ball effectively against a 3-4. So I'm expecting Clint Hurt to make an adjustment. And what adjustment can he or should he make? I think we see a bit more 4-3 this week. I think that we see those edge rushers playing more on the line of scrimmage than we did last week. I think we see more single high safety bringing that the other safety in the box. You need more guys sizing a box to clutter that the run game up. I think that's the adjustment that Clint Hurt should and is going to make. I don't think he's going to have guys just dropping into space like we're playing a spread team or a Russell Wilson. Clint Hurt is a smart man. He made his money in the box. He's a big boy. He knows what it takes to stop the run. I think he'll make that adjustment.
Now, if that's the adjustment that they make, which San Francisco 49ers player suddenly becomes a real threat? So if you're like, hey, we are not selling out by any means, but we're stacking the box a little more than we did against Russell Wilson and the Broncos, who for some reason decided not to run even more than they did. Is it someone like Ayuk? Is it someone like Debo?
Yeah.
Suddenly it's like, okay, now that guy, we're giving him just a little more power here.
No matter what you do, Debo's going to be a threat, whether it's in the running game or the pass game. I think those other guys come into play. When I watch film on the 49ers, there are a lot of two-man concepts. That means two receivers getting down the field. And if you don't have George Kittle, you're more likely to keep Dwelly in there to help block and protect or whatnot. But that means Jennings comes into play more. Brandon Ayuk comes into play more. That means on the outside, Tariq Woolen's going to have a good day. I think he learned a lot that first game, didn't allow any receptions, and I think that Mike Jackson's going to have to have a good day. So yeah, it puts pressure on those guys on the outside, but I think they can handle it.
Fourth down. What do you think we will get out of Ken Walker?
What will we get out of him? I think we'll get 6 carries, 30 yards, 25 yards.
Really? Yeah. Are you sure you don't mean 130?
That would be nice. I would love 130.
130 carries?
Yeah, for 30 yards.
Record. But you have to, like I said, you have to ease him into this. He had a hernia type deal going. You don't just want to throw him out there and say, all right, let's see what you can do. You want to allow Rashad Penny to break the ice, and then you slip Ken Walker in there. I think you'll get enough to see the potential in this young man, but not his full potential. You don't want to force this situation. Be careful with him. What I want to see is DJ Dallas. Get my man some carries, man. But, you won't see much out of Ken Walker. I say 5 to 6 carries.
All right, that was 4 down territory. Don't go anywhere, because coming up next, Curtis Bump, you guys are going to face off in our weekly game show, Niners, 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 Niners. I don't know. Curtis, you've nailed this one. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Niners, 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 Niners.
These golden dim hills.
Nice, Curtis. Nicely done on that one. It is Niners, 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 our weekly game show that changes every week based on who the Seahawks are playing. You, Bumpus, you, Curtis, are going to go back and forth with a little bit of trivia about the 49ers, about the Seahawks, to not only get everyone ready for week 2, but to just entertain me. So who wants to go first? Oh, by the way, here are the rules. There are 8 questions. You will go back and forth. There are no stealing answers. If we are tied after 8 questions, we get to a tiebreaker. I tell you the tiebreaker rules when we get there.
How would you steal an answer?
Well, like if someone gets it wrong and then someone else knows the answer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's
a
classic game show maneuver.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Yeah, because
Bump's going first.
Bump
Curtis,
used some
go first. Okay.
Espionage tactics to
all of
win
these,
last time.
All of
he
these.
Hacked my audio.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. All of these worth 1 point. Here we go. Bump, question number 1. Trey Lance debuted as a full-time starter for the 49ers in week 1. He was the number 3 overall pick in the draft when San Francisco sent a 2022 first and third round pick and a 2023 first round pick to which team to move up to number 3?
The Bears.
No. The Miami Dolphins.
Ah,
Miami. All right. Curtis, let's see if you're the first one on the board.
All right.
Lance played just 1 full season for the North Dakota State. What?
Bison.
Yes.
What?
You know who Arizona plays on Saturday?
Are you kidding me?
You know who
do
you guys know who my Wildcats play tomorrow?
The Bison.
The North Dakota State Bison. That's exactly.
I really regret giving you that question. Okay, Bump, I believe in you for this one. You got this one, all right? Let's see. Richard Sherman, in one of the most famous plays in Seattle sports history, had the tip. Colin Kaepernick targeted Michael Crabtree in the end zone with 31 seconds left in the NFC Championship game, only to have the ball tipped by Sherman and sent into the arms of who?
Man, no.
Bump!
Ooh, I think I know this. But no stealing, right?
No stealing.
Dang, dude. I should know this. I watched that game.
I was so excited for you to be like, Bump, I got you with this question.
I'm trying to think, was it a safety or a linebacker? See, I was going to hate me for this, man. I should know this.
Okay. I'm going to say nothing, but I'm going to give you a minute or a second.
A minute? We don't have that kind of time, Stacey.
Not a minute. Colloquially.
I'm
going to
go with Smith. Was that his name, the backer?
Yes,
Smith.
I will allow it. Malcolm Smith, that is correct.
We're doing Jeopardy rules. Last names count.
Okay. Yeah, I'm turning to the judges.
Malcolm
and
Smith.
We're accepting Smith. We're accepting Smith. Okay, Curtis, the 49ers won 5 Super Bowls between 1980 and 1995. 2 head coaches oversaw those victories. Name them.
Bill Walsh
and
George Seifert.
Yes. All right, Curtis.
That's pretty good.
2 points. Yeah.
I would have guessed Walsh, but not Seifert.
Yeah. Let's see. Bump. Russell Wilson and Richard Sherman came under heat from 49ers fans when they did what at midfield after a win in then Candlestick Park?
They stomped on the logo. I don't know. What they do?
Man.
They ate turkey legs
at midfield during a Thanksgiving game, and people felt it was disrespectful.
I got to listen to the question because the answer was in that question. Oh, my God. All right.
It's two to one. This is round 3.
This is round three.
You can put me away with this one, huh?
I could go up 3-1.
And then if you miss.
Yeah, if I miss, then we go to round 4 here.
I don't know.
Well, let's see.
Okay. Here we go.
We'll just keep asking questions.
Yeah. This one's multiple choice.
Multiple choice.
Nick Bosa had how many sacks last year?
Oh, geez.
13.5, 14.5, 15.5, 16.5, 17.5.
God. I'm going to say D16.5.
No. Bump, do you actually know this?
Yeah.
How much is it?
15.5.
Yes. Good job, Bump.
So 2-1 after round 3.
All right. Here.
It's round 4.
Yes.
I can clinch if Bump misses, right?
Bump, we know that Richard Sherman, a famous former Seahawk, became a 49er. Name a 49ers player who later became a Seahawk. Any 49ers player who later became a Seahawk.
49er player. Oh, Jerry Rice.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Not what I had in mind, but I will allow it.
Like most famous 49er.
All right, Curtis, you can put it away with this one if you get it wrong. Bump has a chance to tie.
Here we go.
And send it, but also send it into the tiebreaker. Where's my little question thing? Okay. True or false? Deebo Samuel was the 49ers' leading rusher in 2021.
I'm going to say false. I think it was Elijah Mitchell.
It was Elijah Mitchell. Important to note, he's out for about 2 months and will miss this game.
I'm bitter.
Our weekly
first
game
you
show.
Ask him about
okay,
the bison.
We win.
Here's
then
the
it's
deal.
True or false.
Here's the
We're back.
Deal.
What's going
well,
on?
You had to know who caught the tip, what you got.
Yeah.
You had to know about one of the most famous moments of Russell Wilson and Richard Sherman eating turkey legs.
I hate turkey.
Had to Can we still do the tiebreaker?
Oh, so absolutely. Yeah, we still got a couple
do the
minutes.
Tiebreaker. Bump, you can't win it back with the tiebreaker, but I don't know. I just really want to do my tiebreaker.
Is this what we say our names?
No, we're going to go back and forth.
Oh,
you say
okay.
Yes or no, easy peasy. First 1 to 5 correct answers wins.
Wow.
All right.
This one's called 49, 49, 49, 49. Was it invented in 1949 or not?
Yes.
Okay, Bump, I will let you go first. Again, you just say yes or no. Jolly Ranchers.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
Curtis. Lego.
I'm going to say that was not invented in 1949.
It was.
Wow.
Jeez.
Bump. Treadmills.
Heck no.
Correct. They were invented in 1952. Curtis. Slinky.
The Slinky was not invented in 1949.
Correct. 1945. Bump. Silly Putty.
No.
It was in 1949.
Wow.
Curtis. Smarties.
Smarties.
Yeah.
Oh, the worst candy.
What?
It tastes like chalk.
Oh, they bumped. They're horrible.
I love Smarties.
What? We got to get bumped a bunch of Smarties now. Yeah. Curtis.
Smarties, I feel like were invented probably like in 1900 for people that are have scurvy.
Is
so
that your final answer?
Say,
1900 for people who have scurvy?
Yes, that is my answer.
The answer is 1949.
Oh, wow.
You guys are still tied. Bump, Cheetos.
No way they were doing Cheetos in 49.
You're right. They were doing them in 1948.
Whoa.
Yeah. You did get that correct, though. Curtis, Fanta.
That was not in 1949.
That was not in 1949. It was in 1940. Bump.
Wow, they've been around that long.
I know. Yeah. Bump. Whoppers.
Whoppers. Was
like
Burger King
the burger
even out?
Or the candy?
Sorry, the candy. Whoppers.
Oh, Whoppers, the chocolate candy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 49 for
49
sure.
Is correct.
49
Bump gets a
cracking.
Point there. Curtis, Tylenol.
Tylenol? Old acetaminophen.
Two more bump wins. Well, he doesn't.
There's
no
it's
way
already been decided. I'm going to say that was prior to 1949.
It was actually several years later. Tylenol invented in 1955, so you did get that correct. All just right. Fun facts.
Yeah. Robot testing.
Bump. Cap'n Crunch.
Yes.
Eating Cap'n can make it happen.
No, Cap'n Crunch invented in 1963. Curtis, Triscuit.
Triscuits. They were invented in 1949.
They were invented in 1900.
Oh,
wow.
They kind of taste like it sometimes.
all right, bumps at four. Okay, so Bump, you can...
No, I'm at three.
You're at three.
You wrote one down
and I
didn't.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if any of us are going to get to five.
Enough. No, we've got this. Junior Mints.
Junior Mints. No.
Yes, they were invented in 1949. Curtis. Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid, yes.
No. Kool-Aid was invented in 1927.
Time constraints are probably not going to allow us to get to five.
Bump, I need you to try to get some of these. Robitussin.
The Tessin. Yes.
Yes, correct.
All right.
Do we have enough time or do we have to wrap it at four?
I think we're going to have to wrap.
All right, Bump wins the tiebreaker but doesn't win the quiz at all.
Nah, I don't accept. Curtis, well done. I'll see you next week.
All right.
All right, what I need to know coming your way next. Send your questions in right now, 866-979-3776.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
It's a Snoqualmie Casino Football Friday on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. And we need your questions to wrap up the show. So send them now to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. It's time for What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. Let's get to the first one here. What I Need to Know, if the Packers call Bump for Saturday, does he suit up?
Oh, without a doubt.
Absolutely.
You think he would ditch his Pac-12 network responsibility midway through to then head a flight towards Green Bay?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
he would get up during a segment on the middle of like a halftime show and just walk off.
That one game check, probably more than anything that he's made in years. Yeah.
Like anything that I've made.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen that kind of money.
Game checks are crazy. What are they even now? What, like $700,000 for a game check? This is like a veteran minimum.
I feel like is not 700,000 or anything, but it's probably like 50,000-60,000, I'm guessing.
You know what I like that the NFL does about its practice squad rules is you can sign a player. This isn't new. You can sign a player from another team's practice squad. There's all these other things, like guys can be restricted, but what the Seahawks did with the safety tease toward that they added. You have to have him on the active roster, and he gets the active roster like paycheck, the game check, for a minimum of three to de-incentivize people from being like, oh, we're playing this team, we're going to take someone from your practice squad. So the league makes it to where if you're a practice squad guy and you get a shot on another team's active roster, you get like a minimum of, I think, three game checks or something.
Jeez.
And if they cut you, they can't fill the spot. So they try to, it's to punish teams for taking advantage of the system. But then also, in effect, it rewards those practice squad players, which I think is cool.
I don't know if he's told this story on the air, but he definitely told it to us in the sports pit, where Bump, I believe it was the game he got his first ever like check as part of the 53-man roster. He was like, oh my God.
I can't believe this.
I forget who it was that came over, looked at his check, and was like,
big time starter.
That's cute.
Yeah.
And then he shows him his check, and it's like quadruple the amount.
It
that
was like
Bump
1.2 million or something.
Yeah,
and he's like, what?
What? You can make that kind of money?
Imagine. What I need to know from the 509, outside of the L.A. Rams, so outside of Stafford, which NFC West quarterback situation would you rather have? Okay, I like this. Let me rephrase. Would you rather have the situation with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona, in the kind of discord that's happened there, and they're also paying him big money? You can have the situation in San Francisco where you've got a little bit of a quarterback controversy. You have no idea if Trey Lance is it. Or you can be in Seattle where you don't really have your future quarterback yet.
God, you've got moody Kyler Murray. You've got the uncertainty in San Francisco. And you've got Matthew Stafford, who just won a Super Bowl, but is having that elbow trouble. Outside of Seattle, which one would I rather have? I think I'd rather have LA's right now.
Well, no, outside of L.A.
Oh, outside of L.A.?
So you have to choose between Arizona, San Francisco, and Seattle.
I would take Arizona, just based off of Kyler Murray's talent.
Yeah.
Now, he's a headache to deal with. Not necessarily the best leader, but he is, talent-wise, way better than Trey Lance and way better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yes, I also think the problems...
And was an MVP candidate up until probably about halfway through the season a year ago.
And the problems that Arizona has seem like they stem in part from Cliff Kingsbury. We don't have the insight there, but when a team is undisciplined or struggles with a lot of the same things over and over and over, it's hard not to think, well, that's kind of the coach's job to fix that.
Yeah.
That's like in part a culture thing, I think.
It is.
Anyways, what I need to know, sports or otherwise, what's your bright spot this week?
Bright spot this week? I mean, Julio going 25-25.
Yeah.
Eugenio Suarez continuing to mash.
Remembering Survivor debuts next week.
Oh!
That was probably my bright spot.
And tonight, Love is Blind reunion on Netflix.
Ooh, yeah.
I believe it's already out. No spoilers, please.
Okay, yeah, no spoilers for us. Someone said Russ is getting 2.9 milli. I did it wrong. The minimum salary is that, not the per game check. Russ is getting 2.9 milli per game.
Sheesh.
I'll take that and yell hit, run, pass on the sideline. I'll be as obnoxious as you need me to.
Yeah.
No problem. Free of
charge.
Yeah, I do it now for significantly less. bright spot this week. What about personal? Any bright spots? I feel like Willow might have done something cute.
I posted a really cute video of her on my Twitter account of her and my wife at a, I believe it's a Spirit Halloween store.
Oh, they are out here.
Yeah.
Not Willow and Brenna. I mean, Spirit Halloween.
Yeah, and Willow is very afraid of like this creepy doll looking thing. It's very cute. It's not like a bad scare, but she's just like, no.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
From the 509.
It's a great spot.
Oh, that's very cute.
It's true.
Yeah. What I need to know, after the Mariners clinch and are trying to save their bullpen, what position player would you want to pitch?
Ooh,
that's a good one. Out of curiosity, Julio, but you don't need to do it. Any of the outfielders would overthrow. They'd be just constant.
I don't want to risk any injury to like Sam Haggerty.
Why do I feel like
anything?
They'd go with a JP? But who do I want to see?
Who would I want to see?
I want to see someone that's going to have fun with it.
Carlos Santana or somebody like that.
I want to
see.
Ty France would have fun with it.
But his wrist is barking,
yeah,
as we've heard.
Yeah, I would want to see.
Suarez would probably have fun with it, too.
Yeah. I think Winker would ham it up.
Oh.
He'd ham it up.
Jesse Winker would absolutely
ham it. Maybe I'd go Jesse Winker. Whatever your feelings about his defense.
Jesse Winker has never done anything without hamming it up.
Yeah, I think Jesse Winker would embrace the opportunity to make it kind of funny.
Yes. 1,000%. I think that's our clear answer right there.
Yeah, I think we've settled on that one.
Yeah.
What I need to know, do either of you watch Big Brother? No, but I need to.
I don't. I've been told I would like it. Yeah.
Amazing Race, Survivor, Big Brother. Dude, I'll...
Yeah, CBS has it down when it comes to reality competition.
Yes. 206, Scott.
Scott Service.
Let's go. Warm up the arm. Bring DePoto out here. Warm up the arm, man. Let's see if you still got it. man, you know what? There's a lot of good answers with that one, which is a pretty fun team.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. What's on tap? Powered by Madden Industrial Craftsman. The Mariners, speaking of, take on the Angels tonight with Robbie Ray on the mound. Don't go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming your way next.